Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey everyone, PA here, Pastor Adam Burt, and thank you so much for joining us on our Every Nation channel. And listen, I got news for you. God has got a word for you. God's got a word for you this morning. And so we've been in this series we've just called the ABCs of Faith, where we're laying a biblical worldview. And so before we jump into the scriptures, I need to set it up with a little story. So I had a buddy named Chris, who was a part of my church when I was pastoring in Manhattan. And Chris, he was a guy who he ran competitively the 800. So if you don't know what the 800 is, that's two times around an Olympic track as fast as you can go. So this guy was like a boss. So for whatever dumb reason, I decided I'm going to train with him. And in every single time I trained with this guy, I hurt myself or he hurt me, you know? And so every now and then we'd go to the gym and lift weights and then I could hurt him. But when we're running outside, I mean, this guy wrecked me every single time. So case in point, we were training at Central Park. And so he would have us do these exercises. They were sprint intervals, but get this, we would sprint a mile, then jog a mile, sprint a mile, and jog a mile continuously over and over again. And so this was just a beat down. Like I am dying as we're running in Central Park. In fact, I'm praying, God, please kill me or kill him, one of us, but man, get me out of this thing. And so, but check this out, you know, because we're guys and, you know, you kind of push one another and I'm running with Chris and I've just got that thing in your side, you know, just struggling. And then we got a quarter of a way towards the end of our final sprint. And he just looks at me and he says, Adam, he says, stay on my shoulder. I'm taking us home. And he took off. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And I found like a gear I didn't know I had, man. And we ran it. Man, we crushed it. We ran a 6-minute mile. It was faster than our first mile. And so it was incredible. We were losing our mind. But the next morning I woke up and I'm like, something doesn't feel right, man. Like it hurt to breathe. And when I tried to move, I looked like a woman in her third trimester. You know, I was just kind of really having to move real ginger. And so long story short, I went to the doctor and they did a few x-rays and some MRIs. And they found that I had a couple of bulging discs. All right. I'd already had 3 back surgeries and now chalked me up for 2 more after that one. I had to have my back fused, which is a fancy way of saying they're going to put titanium rods and screw some screws into your back. Okay. And I think we have an image of it right here. And so, and just as a side note, you know, those screws, they look lovely. They go with the other ones that I have. I have 12 screws in this side of my face, 25 in this side of my face, have some screws in my knees, and now I got them to match in the back. So if whenever I'm preaching, you ever think, hey man, does this guy's got a screw loose? I just might. Okay. Sorry, dad joke. Back to the sermon. Listen, when I saw that x-ray, I didn't like what it said, but I was happy to see it so I could fix it. And kind of that's kind of be the big idea, because man, the Lord is going to show us 2 diagnostics. Just like the x-ray and the MRI show us what's going on in the inside, Jesus is going to say there's 2 things that reveal what's going on in your heart. And so, you know, historically, we've talked about this thing. You've heard me talk about the M&M clause. And if you haven't, well, here you go. Is, man, back in the early 80s, man, the coolest band was Van Halen. We were rocking to Van Halen, wearing parachute pants, wearing a mullet, man, like business in the front, party in the back, right? That was going on. And do you know that Van Halen, though, David Lee Roth, the lead singer, he was also kind of the guy, he would manage things. And so he wrote into their contract with the concert venues this thing called the M&M clause. And what it said, right smack in the middle of all these dubious notes and safety standards, he put this: if there's any brown M&Ms in the green room backstage, the venue forfeits all the proceeds and it all goes to the band. And so here's what they knew. They knew that, man, if there were brown M&Ms backstage, they didn't read the contract, right? It was a tripwire clause. And in the same way, Jesus gives an M contract. He says there's two things that are, it's going to be a tripwire to reveal what's going on the inside of us. And the first M is this, our mouth. Let me read to you in Luke 6, verse 45. It says this, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Did you catch that? Like, man, our heart is going to be revealed by what comes out of our mouth. And so I found this to be true in my own life. Like, there's moments I can hear my mouth gets lazy. And so what I'll start doing, I'll start saying crass things that are just not necessary, you know, or I find myself laughing at things that God's called sinful, you know, and I realize, uh-oh, it's a tripwire. I know I've just been watching too much TV, too much ESPN. I got to dial that stuff down. And what? Dial the scriptures, dial prayer, dial worship up a little bit more, right? Sometimes my mouth will get real negative, right? I'll just want to tear things or tear people down. And it's a tripwire. It lets me know, oh, you know what? I have like some self-hate or something I got to deal with on the inside. And last but not least, and I'm not proud of this, but I don't think I'm alone in this, is there'll be certain days, man, when I'm just frustrated, and there are some F-bombs, like right here. I don't give way to them, but they're right there. And what is that? It's a tripwire. It lets me know, bro, you got to deal with what's going on in your heart. You got to fix that stuff. But now that's the first M is our mouth. But the second M is where we're going to camp out and spend our time here today. And it's in our ABCs of faith. M is for money. And it's one of the tripwire things that lets us know what's going on the inside of our heart. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There your heart will be also. And I get it, like, oh, here we go, the pastor, you know, talking about money. I got news for you. I don't want to talk about money, all right? But the reality is this, Jesus talked about it a lot, and I mean a lot. Like get this, do you know that 16 of Jesus' 38 parables are about money? Do you know that one of every 10 verses in the Gospels are simply the story of Jesus's life. One out of every 10 verses talks and addresses money, right? And get this, even in your scriptures, in the Bible, there's roughly 500 verses on prayer, roughly 500 on faith. Get this, there's some 2,000 on money and possessions. And so Jesus is going to talk about money a lot. But here's the reality. When Jesus talks about money, it has nothing to do with money and everything to do with your heart, right? Because Jesus says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. And so Jesus is going to see, he knows this. If Jesus can get your heart, then your finances will follow. If he gets your heart, your behavior will follow. And so Jesus is after your heart. And so we're going to talk about money here this morning. And listen, I took a blood oath from the moment I came into the ministry that I would never use those cheesy acronyms that Christians use. And I'm about to break that oath today. Because the reality is this. It was just a softball teed up for me, man. And the idea is this, that money is about your heart. And then the acronym is HEART, and H stands for honor, E stands for enrich, A stands for adore, R stands for rob, and T is going to stand for test. It's the HEART, the heart, all right? And let's break these down. Number one is, H is for honor. Like, let me read for you Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. It says this, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. And so the big idea is this. As we honor God, he will in turn honor us. And I got news for you. That's an amazing trade for you and me. And so I want to say this somewhat strongly today, and that is this. You are responsible for honoring God with your finances. I'm not responsible to nag you and just kind of go, oh, you should honor God with your finances, and just constantly nag. No. You are responsible for honoring God with your finances. And listen, He's worthy of honor as God. And so I'll share this story. So as a little kid, I remember I was playing peewee hockey. All right. So think about 9, 10 years old. And so my peewee hockey team had this kid. His parents were old. I mean, like, they were really old. As a 9 and 10 year old, I'm like, man, those people are really old. And so, but his dad was a sweet man. But I remember one practice, all the little kids, we were all around. And he says, Dad, I got a joke. And so climbed up on the locker room benches. And so he was just barely over his father's head. And so his father had to look up to his son. And he says, Dad, ask me what the weather's like up here. Okay, son, what's the weather like up there? And he spit on his father's face, and he says, it's raining. Listen, I don't know about you, but if I did that to my old man, the next verse would read, and Adam went home to be with the Lord, because my dad would have killed me. And even just hearing that story, I know it's cringeworthy. And here's the reason why. See, intrinsically, we know the fifth commandment is true. Honor your father and mother. That it's right to show honor to our parents because of the position they hold. And in the same way, how much more are we to honor God as God? He's worthy of the highest praise. He's worthy of our first and our best. Our first and our best. And that's important. So in the book of Malachi, man, God's going to have a beef with his people, because he's dishonoring him in their tithing and their offering and their giving. Their worship is subpar. Malachi chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, it says this, As a son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? By offering polluted food upon my altar. But you say, how have we polluted you? By saying that the Lord's table may be despised, when you offer blind animals in sacrifice. Is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor? Says the Lord of hosts. And so if I could break that down, like the priests were offering like just a diseased and sickly animals to the Lord, they were offering the leftovers, right? And God is like, you try giving leftovers to your governors and to your rulers. You wouldn't do that. You would show them honor. So how dare you not honor God Almighty with the first and the best? And so that's my appeal to us this morning, man. Let's not just give God our leftovers, but let's bring our first and our best to God, because he's worthy of it as God. And so you and I today, we live in a low honor society. We just do. I remember there was a time when, adults, you would honor adults. It would be Mr. and Mrs. so-and-so, or yes, sir, or no, ma'am, right? It was a high honor thing. Oh, how times have changed, man. I remember my kids were going to school, and the teachers asked that the kids would call their teachers by their first name. So I think it was like Stacy. So my daughter's like, hey, Stacy. And I'm like, when I heard that, I'm like, nope, we're not doing that. At the very least, you're going to call her Miss Stacy, okay? Because for me, man, it was a way we honor. Another thing we would do is, man, you would hold the door for somebody. It was a way of showing them honor. If you have guests over, your guests, what? They always go first. You first. And that's the big idea, man. We honor God. It's always God, you first. You first. And God is worthy of the first, our first and our best. In fact, do you know the very first command is what? You shall have no other gods before me. In other words, God saying, I'm first. Do you know that when Israel entered into the promised land, the first city they took was Jericho. And God says, you don't get any of the spoil. All of that goes to me, and then you get to have the rest, but God goes first. That Jesus, in Matthew 6:33, it's one of my life verses, it says, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and God will add everything else unto you. That in Proverbs 3:9, the text that we read, it says this, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. In other words, God, you go first. And so when I pay my monthly bills, man, my tithe simply means a tenth, 10% of all the income that comes in, man, I honor the Lord with that. God, you go first. And then the gas company, man, Visa or whoever else, they get paid second, but God always goes first. And if some of you are thinking, hey, if God goes first, what if there's not enough for me? And I would submit to you this, that's the point. That's the point. God, I'm going to honor you. Man, I'm going to trust that you're going to take care of me. If we honor God, he will honor us. In fact, Jesus, man, there's this story in the Gospels where a poor widow puts in the offering just a couple little mites. And that's just the smallest amount of money, but it was all she had. And Jesus didn't stop her from doing anything. You know what he did? He marveled. And he says, that's amazing what that woman has done. Why? Because she showed God the highest honor. And I promise you, God took care of that woman. So honor God with our finances, and God is going to honor us. That's a really good trade. Point number two is this E for enriched. All right. Let's read this. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10 and 11. It says this. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be, here it is, enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. And so 2 Corinthians, in this chapter, verse 9, that Paul is actually raising funds for the church in Jerusalem that was suffering at the time. There was a famine in the land. And so Paul's saying this, though, but as you give, God is going to be sure to enrich you. And get this, in every way, in every way. And so I want to show you this brief video. There's a young man by the name of Jimmy Darts. This man, Jesus radically got a hold of his heart. And he decided he wanted to just give his life over to glorifying God and blessing people. And so he goes around the nation and he looks for people in need. And then he's going to ask them, hey, would you help me out? And if people have open hearts, despite their situation, to give and are generous, he boomerangs it. And he winds up blessing them, giving them $500, $1,000. And so in this brief video, we see this woman, BJ, she lost her husband. She's currently living out of her car, and now she's selling these towels. And then we'll pick it up right here. So enjoy this video by Jimmy Darts.
Don't cry.
24 hours earlier, I met BJ, who was experiencing homelessness after her husband passed away.
You're selling towels.
Yeah, they're refrigerator towels.
Really? Huh? I would love to give one of those towels to my mom, but I don't have enough money for it.
Take whatever you want. Take one to your mama.
After BJ gave me a towel expecting nothing in return, I surprised her with $500 and she was blown away and then shared this with me.
What would be your biggest dream?
Having a place to live. Or having a bigger vehicle to live in.
Yeah.
Isn't it crazy to have that kind of a dream?
It's not crazy at all.
The next morning, I met up with BJ to give her the surprise of a lifetime.
In the last 12 hours, over $55,000 was donated to you.
I don't cry. I'm not one to be lost for words ever, but I am.
Man, did you feel that? Man, did you just feel, man, I just tear up when I feel that. And it's this moment as people are giving, as they're generous, what? Everybody wins. Like he won. Man, you and I won by experiencing that feeling, that joy, and that was amazing, right? Everybody wins, but the devil, okay? And so God says, as you give and are generous, man, you're going to be enriched in every way. And not just by good feelings either. God says, hey, I'm going to see to it, man, that you have plenty more, that you might give away more. If you're a generous heart, God can fill your hands up because he knows you're going to bless people. Like woven into the fabric of the universe is this principle of sowing and reaping. We see it in agriculture. Well, we see it just in our day-to-day living, man. If you sow in the weight room, man, you're going to reap a harvest, okay? So on and so forth. And God says, I'm going to be sure that the people that are generous, that they're sowing into the lives of other people, I'm going to be sure that they have plenty of seed so they can give plenty away. And that's the big idea. In fact, here's what's so amazing, this idea of the law of sowing and reaping. Do you know that it's everywhere? Like, I crack up when I see just researchers or secular science, they bump into the laws of God and like, oh my gosh, this is real, right? And so the University of Notre Dame, they did like extensive research, and they found out, they wound up writing a book called The Paradox of Generosity, because they were blown away by the reality that when you give things away, it's amazing how much comes back to you. And so they said this in their extensive study. They said, hey, if you'll determine to give a percentage of your income away on a regular basis, here's what they found out. Every variable for human flourishing absolutely skyrockets, right? Your mental health, man, your finances go up. Your happiness goes up. Everything, all the variables for human flourishing skyrocket. I was reading just recently a book by Adam Grant. It's called Hidden Potential. And they were doing research on people that are generous. Here's what they found out. The research showed something fascinating. It says this, for every $1 in extra charitable giving, income was $3.75 higher. Giving actually seemed to make people richer. For example, imagine that you and I are both earning $60,000 a year. I give $1,600 to charity. You give $2,500 to charity. Although you gave away $900 more than I did, according to the evidence, you will be on track to earn $3,375 more than I will in the coming year. Surprising as it seems, people who give more go on to earn more. See, I could have saved him some time by saying, bro, just read the Bible. And I guess I'll put the cherry on it this way. I'm always embarrassed. So this is back after the bank crash in 2008. And I was watching the Today Show. Okay, don't judge me. And you know this is old because they had Matt Lauer was still on it. He was interviewing this best-selling author. And the title of the book was Five Ways to Get Out of Debt. And so he and Lauer were going back and forth. He was listing the five ways to get out of debt. And he got to the fifth one, and he paused. And he says, the fifth way you get out of debt is you give a portion of your income away on a consistent basis. And Lauer was kind of perplexed. He's like, man, you're trying to get out of debt. You can't afford to give away. He goes, how does that work? And the guy just simply responded, I don't know. It just works. And I just so wanted to tell that guy, I know. And let me read for you 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things and at all times, you may abound in every good work, right? And so E is enriched. A stands for adore. And to adore something means to worship and to cherish something. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 says this. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. And here's the money line. For God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. And so I've shared this story before, but there was an old gentleman, it's a true story, an older gentleman, and each and every Friday he would go to a pier in Florida. He would walk to the end of the pier with a bucket of fresh shrimp, and he would toss them up into the sky, and seagulls would fill the sky as they were feasting on these shrimp. And this man, he could be heard saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, if you don't know his backstory, it might sound a little bit crazy to you, but that man was a man by the name of Eddie Rickenbacker. And Eddie Rickenbacker served both in the World War I and World War II as a pilot. He was one of the most highly decorated pilots our country has ever known. And during World War II, he was carrying some passengers in a plane over the Pacific when they were shot down. And he managed to land the plane, so to speak, in the water and get all the passengers out. They only lost one man. So in the life raft, man, they were on the life raft for days. and then all the rations ran out. All the food was exhausted. And so Eddie gathered his team around on this life raft. They said a prayer and then just sat back in the scorching sun, just trying to conserve energy. And as he closed his eyes, he felt something land on the top of his head, and it was a seagull. And so Rickenbacker stood still, and then in a moment, boom, he flashed back, grabbed the seagull. Man, they threw that thing in the raft, they ripped it apart, and they fed on that, and then they used the intestines to fish, and they caught fish and survived, get this, for the next 24 days until they were rescued. And now you see, while Eddie Rickenbacker, each and every week, he goes back and he wants to thank the seagull. The seagull that sacrificed his life that he and his friends might live. What? And he says, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I want to tell you this, man. God loves a cheerful giver. Like, I don't know about you. I'm so grateful that God is my God. Like he's so kind and generous, faithful and loving. I'm so grateful. And so, man, when I got to write my tithe, I'm gladly giving it to God because, man, it's my way of saying, God, oh, God, thank you. Oh, God, thank you for saving me. God, thank you for saving my family. God, thank you. Right? We see this in John chapter 12. Mary, this is before Jesus goes to the cross. She takes some expensive perfume. It was called nard. I know it doesn't sound that sexy, but it was extremely pungent, and it would just stay on you forever, and it was expensive. It cost a year's worth of wages. You need to feel that. A year's salary she broke open and poured it on Jesus. And that smell would have been with him. It was anointing him for his burial. And get this, so now what we know is Jesus, as he's hanging on the cross, and the Bible says he breathed his last. And the last thing he would have smelled was this, man, that extravagant sacrifice from Mary, right? And do you know this? The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4, do you know that the entire book of Philippians is a thank you letter to the Philippian church because they had been supporting Paul's ministry as he was planting churches around the known world. And he says this in receiving a blessing from them financially. In Philippians 4:18, Paul says, I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. And here's what he says. A fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. Man, he was saying, as you're giving to support the ministry and the gospel going out, it's a fragrant sacrifice unto God. And then R stands for Rob. And so just a little note here. This one might sting a little bit, okay? Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 12 says this. Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you in your tithes and your contributions? You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that I will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be the land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. And so here's just kind of a little story here is, so my wife and I, when we were just newly into the ministry, we decided to have all the single men that were in our church, have them into our home and just fix them a home-cooked meal. And so my wife, man, she went over the top. She made like Thanksgiving, in May. And so she did this massive bird, all the stuffing for the record. Man, my wife's stuffing is the best on the planet, and I'll hear nothing other than that, okay? And so, man, stuffing, the mashed potatoes with gravy, sweet potatoes with them delicious marshmallows on top, man. And man, we prayed over that meal, and these guys dug into this food like they had never eaten a meal in their life, man. They're making me grossed out a little bit, like, rawr, 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 and they're eating all this. And then out came the dessert afterwards, man, apple pie a la mode, hallelujah. And so we ate this food, and man, by that evening after everyone left, man, we had full bellies, but we had full souls as well. But you can imagine how shocking it was to my wife and I when we found out later that night that, one of those men in our home had robbed my wife, her jewelry box, of over $10,000 worth of jewelry, right? I don't know if you've ever been robbed before. It's not a good feeling. It's a feeling of violation. There's a loss of trust and a loss of innocence, right? There's just loss all the way around. And yet, and God uses very, very strong language. He says, when you fail to bring the full tithe, he says this, you're robbing me. That's strong language. Will a man rob God? And do you know, like, statistically, I was kind of Googling some stuff, like how, man, the church today, like average churchgoers, man, how are they doing in their tithing? And do you know what the poll said? This, that at roughly about 5% of regular churchgoers tithe. That means 95% are doing what God says, his word's not mine, robbing God. So I'll share this story. There's a guy I played with in the NHL. I won't name him in case he's watching, but man, he loved the Lord. But it was weird to have like another Christian, you know, to be a teammate. And so it was great. We would talk some Jesus talk at times. But I remember one time I asked him, I was like, hey, man, so do you tithe? And so he goes, he says, yeah, I used to, but I make too much money now. So when he was just making a little bit of money, like in the minor leagues, sure, I'll tithe. But now he's making big money and he's like, oh, I can't tithe. That's too much. And I just thought about that. I was like, bro, really? I'm like, you know, God can handle that. Like if you would like to make less again, he can make that happen for you, right? And so you can see how like dishonoring to God that is. And so here's what I want to say this, man. Like I get this can be hard to hear this morning or today, but I want you to know this. I get all the stereotypes. You know, people are like, ah, pastors just want my money, you know, and that type of thing. Or I'm sure some of you are thinking, yeah, he probably, you know, sleeps with his secretary. And for the record, I have slept with my secretary. It was when my wife was the secretary here at our church. And now it's a dude named Zart, okay? And he's not my type, okay, because he's a man. And so that's going on. So, but listen, I get the stereotypes. But here's, I want to tell you this. I believe with all of my being, in all of my heart, I believe in the tithe. Do you know, I've been tithing since I was a 16-year-old kid. Since I first started making money, I was making 40 bucks every 2 weeks, and that was Canadian, okay? But man, I would give my tithe. Till all the way, man, at the pinnacle of my NHL career, I was making $1.3 million a year. That's a lot more zeros on that tithe check, man, and I was so glad to do it. And I want to tell you this, man, God is so faithful. He's so good. I want to encourage you in the tithe. I'm not just as a pastor that receives the tithes, man, I am a tither and I believe in it. And so in fact, man, if you think that the tithe, I'm trying to like rip you off, man, go tithe to another church, just tithe. Because I want you to see that as you honor God, God will honor you. Which leads me to the final letter in our heart acronym is T. It stands for test. We read it in Malachi chapter 3. God says, hey, to test me in this, to put me to the test. In fact, did you know, because a tithe means a tenth of our income, we give back to God. Do you know that the number 10, it's the number of testing in the scriptures? You know, numbers have significance. Like 5 is the number of grace. 3 is the number of perfection, you know, Father, Son, and Spirit. You know, but 10 is the number of testing. That's why we get 10 commands to test the heart of men. The Pharaoh got 10 plagues to test his heart. And now you and I, we're tested with the tithe on a consistent basis to see if, man, God, you're first. God, you're first. God, you're first. And so the promises, God says, but listen, you put me to the test in this and you see if I don't come through strong for you and open up the windows of heaven. And so I share this one is my family and I, we lived in Manhattan. I shared last week that we sold everything we had, including our car or so, but I realized you need a car to get out of Manhattan. So we rented a cheap Ford Taurus, right? My wife said it's cheap. I said it's frugal. But we rent this cheap Ford Taurus. So we have me and my wife, my daughters and their two girlfriends. So that's 4 in the back, my wife and I in the front. And oh, by the way, we have a 90-pound golden retriever and a Cocker Spaniel. Daniel, we got to put these things somewhere along with our luggage. And so we were just so crammed in, and this 90-pound golden retriever is on my wife's lap in the front seat as we're driving up to upstate New York to go camping. And so my dog does what dogs does. He's got his head out the window, but suddenly, man, he starts having a seizure, or what I thought was a seizure. He's writhing, and I thought, oh my gosh, it's cardiac arrest or something, my dog, you know? And come to find out that that dumb dog had stepped on the window button control, and he did the window up on himself, and that dog was choking himself out. And here's what, I tell you what, that's what you do when you rob God and withhold the tithe. You're literally choking yourself up, and God's like, hey, dum-dum, man, let the button go. Man, give what belongs to God, and God promises, I will open up the windows of heaven. Man, I will pour out such blessing on your life. As you honor God, He will honor you, and that's a great trade. God also says this. He says, I will rebuke the devourer for you on your behalf. In other words, God says, I'm going to protect you from anything that wants to devour your finances. And so this happened a number of years ago, but I remember my wife and I drove home and from Detroit back to our home here in New Jersey, and it was late at night, but for whatever reason, my wife went to the mailbox, got the mail out, and there was a letter from the IRS, right? Not a letter you want to get. And this letter, my wife opened it up. She screams. She's like, oh my gosh. She shows me the letter. It said that we owed the IRS $250,000. I was like, well, there goes the kids' education, and Lord knows what else. You know, I'm like, oh my gosh. And I, listen, I wish I could say I was so filled with faith. No, in Jesus' name, it wasn't like that. I was like, oh my gosh. But faith did start to bubble up in my heart. Because here's what I knew, that I did my taxes with integrity, and God says, He promised, I'm going to rebuke the devourer on your behalf. And so I started to pray, Lord, you said, as I tithe, you said, well, get this, after a little bit of time, we got a call from the IRS letting us know that it was an error and that we owed them $120. And then afterwards, too, they just said, hey, you know, we put you through a lot, don't worry about it, you just forget about that. How many know that doesn't happen? But then the story's not over with because, do you know, just a few weeks after that, I was walking in Manhattan and I got a phone call from the NHLPA, the National Hockey League Players Association. And the treasurer at that time let me know, Adam, we've been looking for you. We had a surplus in our association fees. We're looking where we can send you a check for, wait for it, $150,000. So I don't know if you're doing the math there. That's a $400,000 flip, right? That's a pretty big turn of events. And to God be all the praise and the glory. So don't mishear me. Like, I'm not saying, oh, if you tithe, God's going to give you a check for $150,000. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is the promise is this, is that God says this, man, if you honor me, I will honor you. And that's an unbelievable deal. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much, Lord, that you are so good to us. And Lord, we thank you, God, that as we honor you, you promise you will honor us. And Lord, I want to pray for those that maybe have never taken a step of faith to honor you in their finances. God, I pray, Lord, that as they test you, as they have faith, even just dip their toe in this thing, God, you would meet them. God, you would bless them. Thank you that you would open up the windows of heaven for them and pour out such great blessing. You would rebuke the devourer on their behalf. And so for that, we thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Well, listen, Every Nation, the sermon's over with. We're not quite finished. I do now need to remind you that you can be faithful in your tithing and your giving. And one of the avenues you can do it is you can do it digitally. And so you can go to our website, encnj.org, and just hit the giving icon. Or you can give via text. That's the way my family and I give. If you just text the letters ENCNJ to the number 77977, it's a very convenient way to give. Or you can mail in your check or money order right here to our church offices at 101 Gibraltar Drive, right here in Morris Plains, New Jersey. And may God richly bless you as you're faithful in your tithing and your giving. Every Nation, Jesus loves you, and I think you're pretty great too. Have an amazing week.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, encnj.org.